Hey, y'all, this is part two of our conversation with Decline about how creatives can take advantage of this NFT space. Now, listen, if you did not check out part one, it is linked in the show notes. But if you're an artist and creative and want to get in on this game, you want to check this out.
Look, are you interested in investing or collecting NFTs, but are overwhelmed with all the information? Heather and I, we're true NFT newbies. We're going to break it down as we're learning, as we wander unafraid into the world of digital art.
Listen, y'all, we're going to cure you of your FOMO, mildly educate you, and give our unqualified opinions, and hopefully have a lot of laughs along the way.
If there's artists, NFT world is super crazy and interesting. Like, if someone's first impression of the NFT world, who's a traditional artist, is CryptoPunks, and they're like, what the hell is that? How is that worth that much? What is this zombie thing? What are these fish? Or what are these Bored Ape Yacht Club things? And they feel that the kind of art that they have might not belong on a place that's so kind of forward oriented. Yeah. What would you tell them? I just feel like some of the highlights we see are some of the most creative things, but old art or traditional art can still thrive in this marketplace as well. Or would you disagree or agree?
I think we tend to project our own view of our art as what art is. And in reality, it's much broader than any individual's creative expression. And it goes back to, like I was saying about the artist Robness and that story I wrote. The whole point of that story was what constitutes art, you know, and it went back to Marcel Duchamp taking a urinal and turning it around and calling it a fountain and signing it and saying, this is art, you know.
Yeah.
And point being, art is whatever you decide art is. So, you know, it's wide open in my opinion. And yeah, CryptoPunks are a form of expression, and that's what makes them art. And whether or not you like it is an entirely different story, you know?
Sure.
And the other thing about it for me as a creative person, as a creator, is when I create something and I like it, chances are statistically someone else there probably will think it's cool too, right? So if you're a creator and you're creating something and you like it, there's going to be other people who think it's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the beauty of the of crypto art, is that the market is so huge. You know,
yeah,
it's not like a traditional art scene where maybe you set up somewhere downtown somewhere at some trendy art scene and, you know, maybe a few hundred people, if it's a good day, a few hundred people walk by and see your art. Like, statistically, what's the chance of finding someone who's going to be like, wow, I love that piece, right? I mean, here you're open to the entire world. And we're still a very small market, right?
Yeah.
We still... Like, what percent of people even hold a crypto wallet of any sort? Less than 1%, right? How many, yes, of those people are into NFTs? 5%, maybe? Like, you're talking such a tiny fraction, we have no idea how big this is going to get.
And that's why, you know, you said earlier too, you know, how busy it's or how saturated it's been over this past year. It's interesting because it is, but it's also still, there's such a huge opportunity here. And I think coming in as a creative and an artist, you know, when you start talking about, you know, like building community and collaborations and stuff, and just overcoming the tech piece of like, okay, I've got to go to this website and make this wallet and what does minting mean and all of that. And then thinking about now too, you need to learn community building. And maybe that's not a skill set that you've had as a creative person. Are those really just the only two elements we need to be considering, is just the tech piece of getting our art actually on there and then be focused on building community after that? Or what other missing pieces are there?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I prioritize community over the tech part, because the thing is, if you have the soft skills, you can learn the other skills. Right. If you have the social skills and the social networking, you can reach out to another artist and say, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Can you help me? And someone will help you. Right.
That's true.
You know, I mean, obviously you want to get to know people so you feel like you can trust them. And you also don't want to be in a place where you're risking a lot on your initial foray into it. So I wouldn't put thousands of dollars into a wallet to begin with. Right. But yeah, I think the main thing is the connecting, because from there you can do anything, you know. I can reach out to hundreds of different people and say, hey, I had someone on Instagram the other day, phenomenal musician. I'm not going to say her name, just 17 years old though, and I was looking, she was asking, how do I get into NFTs, right? And she's, I couldn't believe her music.
You're like, I'll airdrop you one.
Right, yeah. So basically, but I knew a number of other people. I'm like, well, you could speak to this person who's, you know, a musician with NFTs, and you could talk to this person who's a musician in NFTs. And so I connected her with those people, right? Wow. That's what you need. That's what you need. You don't need to know a lot of tech.
Yeah. I always think people who connect people, you never forget those people. Like if you made, like, let's just say I didn't know Heather and you connected me with Heather and I'm like, Heather's amazing. This is crazy. I'll never forget that you were responsible for that. So that's right. Awesome for you.
Oh, for sure.
I have a question on creating though. You know, so you started, you got addicted a little bit. You started creating more and more. Heather and I always talk about the FOMO of like, oh, I got to buy this, or, you know, like we don't want to miss the wave. But as a creator or an artist, do you ever feel pressure? Like I need to step my shit up. Like, look at this, like, look at everything that's going on around here. This is some of the best art I've ever seen. Do you feel that? Like you got to level up?
The whole thing's a game to me, honestly.
Really?
I feel like, I don't know, you ever play like an MMO where you level up and it's the ding, you know what I mean? Like yeah. I set myself goals and that's like leveling up in my mind when I reach those goals. So, you know, for example, when I began, I was like, I want to get on a curated platform, right? So that was my goal. And so I started on Rarible and OpenSea and I built up a portfolio till the point that I had a style, I guess you could say, a style people could recognize. That's yes. really important.
It's super recognizable, by the way. Like, I love it. It's easy to distinguish.
I do stuff that's not recognizable, but that's not, you know, my signature. You know what I mean? Style. And so that's an important element is, you know, and it doesn't mean that you have to only do that, but you have to have something that if you are going to go to a curated platform, you're going to be able to say to them, okay, here's my portfolio that kind of shows who I am as an artist. And some artists I've spoken to went for like the range. They're like, look at this range of art I have. But I generally don't think that's what they're looking for. They're looking for a style that people can see and go, oh, that's such and such an artist. Right?
Interesting.
And that's what the curated platforms are going for. So that was like one of my early goals was to get on a curated platform. I was fortunate to be early enough that wasn't crazy. Okay. So I managed to get on Known Origin after a couple of months in the space because I was doing all these zombies that people really liked. And I do plenty of stuff besides zombies, but they were just really commercially successful and a lot of people liked the style. And so I just leveraged that. Now, as soon as I was on Known Origin, I immediately flipped to making other stuff on that platform because I didn't want to just be known for that one style. So then I started doing like the cube pop type stuff and the corrupted beauty type things, you know, because I get tired of the one style after a while.
Is there something that you would advise creators to do sooner than later as far as building their community? Community is a skill set, something that you have to learn how to do. And I know that, you know, Gary's talked a lot about that's going to be the next thing is people who are really good at building community. And I think there's confusion on how to do that with like retweet for this and like for this and all this stuff
and that wears
like
thin.
Spamming people. So can you create some context around what are the action steps to actually building a real community for your art?
I think a big part of it is recognizing other great artists and promoting them,
which
seems maybe counterintuitive. But when I see cool art, I say, whoa, that's awesome. And I tweet that out. And then those people go, oh, thanks. And then they'll talk to you. And, you know,
come on.
And I'm not saying that to be manipulative. What I'm saying is when you're building up the people around you, it's going to benefit you anyway.
That takes security, though. A lot of people are super like, you know, the scarcity thing of like, there's only so much on the table, right?
I don't know if I believe that applies to this market.
Really? That's encouraging.
I don't know if it does. I mean, in terms of the scarcity of your artwork, yes. But in terms of, I feel like it's one of those rising tide lifts all boats kind of concepts. I don't know about you, but when I see people in Twitter going, hey, look at my stuff, look at my stuff, look at my stuff, in everybody else's threads, is it appealing to you?
No, never.
It's not appealing to me. I remember doing it early on. where it would be some thread of somebody's art and being like, oh, well, look at my art. Boop.
I love
that. And then I was like, wait a minute, yeah. That's kind of rude, actually. But, you know, when it's early on, you don't know what to do. I remember there was one, a Twitter Spaces the other day, I remember, where we were talking about, I forget, it was some topic. And then we open up the mic to somebody and they're like, hi, I'm so-and-so, I create this art. If you go to this site, you can see my art. It's like, nobody's going to listen to that.
100%. Yep. 100%.
When I gave Clubhouse a shot for, you know, 2 whole months, that would happen. Like, we'd be in the middle of a really good room and then someone would come on and be like, so I, and there's just like, dude, just trapdoor, man. Trapdoor, kick them off.
Hey, everyone. Quick break to recognize our insanely awesome sponsor, Based Fish Mafia. If you want to learn about them and just see what the hell they're about, you can go to basedfishmafia.com. BASEDFISHMAFIA.com. Okay, that was a mouthful, but look, check it out. One of the things that makes him a little bit different, which we love, is that the artist, Matt Calabi, he's very, very active. Okay, not just like in BFM, but in the NFT community in general. And that's really, really important. You don't want people who just create NFTs and are waiting for people to buy them and flip them. Now, this is very different. The other thing is they do giveaways, like frequently offer giveaways. They do giveaways for prints, hand paintings, other awards. And look, they're always just trying to step it up. You're now able to acquire, if you are able to get your hands on any of the Based Fish Aquarium, holders can animate their fish if they're able to acquire an animation token. And that's ridiculous. Like, that's what makes the NFT world fun. This kind of utility is what drives the value of NFTs up, the value of the community up, and the interest up. So if you're a newbie and you're looking to just kind of get your feet wet and just learn a little bit, have fun a little bit, BFM, Based Fish Mafia are your people. There are people. Let's get back to the show.
I got a question about pricing. Mm. How do you price? Like, how do you know? Like, I didn't think twice about buying yours, and I'm not saying it was cheap, and I'm not saying it was overpriced, and I was happy to pay over either. I didn't know. I was just like, I really want to support D, so like, here we go, and I'm glad. But like, how do you even, what would you tell people how to test?
Great.
Because this is a different freaking world.
It's tricky, especially now that gas fees are so high. It's tough, okay?
I tried to buy $83 Happy Land gummy bear, Heather, and the gas was $2.71 just now. I'm like,
I know, I'm doing these atomic zombies right now, and I'm selling them at 0.02 ETH, which is about $100.
Yeah.
But you're paying $200 to $300 to mint them. Right? Like, it doesn't make sense, but... So that adds a wrinkle to the complexity of it. Of course, what I was mentioning with OpenSea, you could price stuff pretty modestly because you only pay for the initial mint. And then after that, they're all under the same contract if you do that approach. In which case you can price, I mean, if you're beginning, you can't expect people to buy the stuff for hundreds of dollars, realistically. Right. You know, you're going to want to be priced in probably like 0.01 ETH. And it is tricky right now with the gas fees being where they are. Another thing you could do is you could explore platforms like Tezos, where you use a platform that's called Hic et Nunc. People call it HEN. It's Latin for here and now. Tezos blockchain. Okay. Minting on Tezos is very, very, very cheap. Pennies.
T-E-Z-O-S?
You got it, yeah. Okay. The Tezos blockchain is a really great place to begin. Another one that I work with is the Koi Network. And Koi.network, K-O-I-I.network. They use the Arweave blockchain. And the interesting thing with Koi, I'm going to do a little plug here for them.
Yeah, do it.
The interesting thing with Koi is that their platform is attention-based, okay? Meaning, those zombies that I make, if you own one and people look at it, you earn attention tokens. So they're not mined. The tokens are rewarded for attention. So those are some good platforms to begin on, right?
Whoa.
Because... yeah, it's a very interesting concept because basically, people have bought my zombies, these atomic zombies, and then they'll be like, look at my zombie. And if you go and look at it, they actually get rewarded for that.
Which is so great for you as the creator.
Yes. Absolutely.
Come on.
They're getting rewarded to market for you.
100%.
I love it.
Right? So Koi.network. Now, Koi.network is new. It's young. It's kind of clunky, kind of slow. Arweave blockchain uses a form of... it's called consensus, where it basically that's how these transactions get approved. Meaning Everyone's witnessing those transactions, and then there's a consensus that the transaction is true, and that's how it gets approved, right? In the case of Arweave, it uses something called gradual consensus. It's a slower process where gradually it spreads the consensus through the community of the blockchain in order to transact it, which makes it very, very eco-friendly. It does uses an extremely little amount of energy. Same as Tezos uses very little energy as well. If you're concerned about the environmental element, those are good alternatives.
Interesting.
We might have to talk to Koi and get them on the show.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm sure they'd be interested. They're a great group of people. But anyway, what was I saying? Those are good places to start if if you're looking at pricing, because on something like Tezos or on the Koi network, you can be free to price very modestly because people aren't having to pay a large fee. So on Tezos, you'll often see people selling stuff for like $3, $5, but they might make, say, 100 editions of it.
Interesting.
Because the fee isn't a barrier.
All right.
Well, before we get into our final question and ask where people connect with you, it's really important for me to ask you this. Do you like Walking Dead?
I watched about the first 5 seasons, and then the momentum kind of died for me. I don't know what it was. I loved it for the first few seasons.
It really hurts my feelings. I love Walking Dead so much. I was a zombie 7 times in season 10.
And so I have to catch up on it because I hear that season 5 is the lull. There was some kind of writer issue for something like a season or so.
Well, I don't want to give spoiler alerts, but yeah.
Yeah, anyway, I've got to get back into it. I loved it. My wife literally hid behind our couch when we watched it. She was so freaked out by it. Yeah, I was laughing at her. And she was just like this, like, no. No, I actually really loved it for, like I said, for the first 4 or so seasons. And I don't know what it was. There was some point where it fell off for me and I just never got back into it.
There's a lot of people like that. We live about 2 hours from the movie set. And I told my husband, I am getting on that show. And he goes, no, you won't. And I said, watch me.
Did you?
Yeah. I was on season 10. I was a zombie. That's why I was asking, because zombies are my life. What? I love them. But where can people connect with you online and check
out
your
Hold on a second.
On the show? Like,
yeah.
You were a zombie on The Walking Dead.
Yes. I'll send you a pic.
That is something that I do for fun, by the way. I zombify people. So, you know, if you ever want me to draw a zombie.
I'm going to blow y'all's minds. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to maintain a great relationship with you because we are community builders just like you.
Come on.
And at some point, when we have a good, modest following, you are going to help make Heather a zombie picture and we're going to mint that shit. I'm calling it right now.
I'll mint it on Known Origin for sure.
That's awesome.
Jesus.
Dekan, where can people connect with you online and check out your awesome work?
Well, the tricky thing of connecting with me is you got to get my name right. There's another D. Klein on Twitter who has blocked me because he's been spammed so much by people who think he's me.
No way.
Yeah. Because his name is @_. This is on Twitter. @DKLEIN is his tag.
Yes.
Okay. Mine.
I'm looking him up.
Is @DKLEINE. It's Dutch. Dutch people.
I don't know. Got it.
But it's actually Kleine correctly. So that's the easiest place to find me because from there you can go to my link tree and find everything that I'm doing.
Check out his art, people. I'm a holder. I love it. He does good things. He's always tirelessly putting out some good things. So we're really happy to have you on the show. And what we always do at the very end is we ask a random question from this pod deck.
Exciting.
And I will go ahead and
I wasn't prepped for this. Now I'm...
Yes.
It's pretty serious.
Neither are we. and if you really you know, stumble, then we'll kick it off to one of us and then we'll come back to you. But this one today, randomly pulled, says... Whom do you secretly envy?
Whom do I secretly envy?
Essentially, make it not a secret.
Is it arrogant to say I'm not really the envious type? I don't know.
Nope.
You can say it's at this Dekan dude without the E.
He's getting all my attention.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good one, Heather.
I don't know. Maybe I'm self-absorbed.
He's in it to win it. Heather, do you have anyone
that I'm envious of? Mm-hmm. I always bring Pink up. I'm so, in a good way, envious of her. She's such a badass, and she swings from like things and makes awesome music and doesn't care what people think and has bleached hair. And I'm very empathetic and in my feelings, and I wish I was as tough as her.
Mm, I actually did think of one.
Hit it.
There's an artist that I've collaborated with. You know, I said the collaboration is really important. His name is Ali Sabet. He is a phenomenal artist. Mm. S-A-B-E-T. And what I'm envious of is if you ever watch him actually draw or paint, it's just so effortless. Like, he never has to step back and fix it from what I can tell. He just goes. And he can do it while he's talking with people. He'll be like this and be like, yeah, how are you doing? And I'm like, how are you doing that? And there's just such a natural flow to his work. And Rich, I'm sure you would love his work. We did a collaboration.
I already wrote it down.
Yeah, we did a collaboration on Known Origin. That's on my gallery. But he's a phenomenal artist and just a wonderful person. So yeah, I'm envious of his skill, his ability to just, it looks effortless when he's drawing or painting. You know,
I'll round it out then. I'm envious of people who have six packs and don't need to go to the gym.
Okay. Yeah. I'll be
those people exist.
Only physically.
Now I am starting to feel like I'm envious of a lot of people.
I know. I'm like in a bad mood now. So wait to end the show.
I'm envious that you were a zombie on Walking Dead.
Yeah. There you go.
Awesome.
Well, look, everybody, you know where to find us, right? Heather, where can they find us?
You can find us on most social media platforms at NFTs4newbies, also at Gmail. If you have any questions, comments, we'll do our very best to get back with you. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Take care.